This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My brothers and my sisters in Islam, you all have beautiful hearts, mashallah. Believers in Islam have beautiful hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that all our hearts are really beautiful, even if the exterior has been blemished by all the sins that we have accrued over time. Even if the exterior has been blemished by trials and tribulations, even if the exterior has been blemished by all the sins that we have earned, even if the exterior has been blemished and is now ready to pass away, by Allah, every one of us has beautiful hearts. Whether we like it or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created every single one of us with beautiful hearts. There is an authentic hadith, which is an amazing hadith in Bukhari, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once sitting in his masjid. And a companion walked in, a companion Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked in and he smelt of alcohol. He had just drunk alcohol. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered that he be lashed. So when they were lashing him, and he was a repeat offender, by the way, so when they were lashing him, at that point, it is narrated in the authentic hadith in Bukhari that a little bit of the blood from the man's back, from this Sahabi's back, splashed on the thobe of Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu anhu. And when the blood splashed on Khalid bin Walid's thobe, Khalid bin Walid cursed the man. La'anatullahi alayk. May the curse of Allah be upon you. So at that point, Rasulullah ﷺ stopped Khalid and said, La ya Khalid, do not curse him. Innahu yuhibbu Allah wa Rasulah. Verily he loves Allah and his messenger, do not curse him. Allahu Akbar. My friends, it is possible that you're spending your life doing sins. It is possible that you're engrossed in sins. It is possible that day to day, you're only earning sins. It is possible that by Allah, up until now, you have far more sins than you have good deeds. It is possible that you're not actively doing something for the cause of Allah. And that every single day, you are engrossed in doing things for this dunya only, and only earning an excuse in front of Allah to punish you. It may be the case, but by Allah, you truly love Allah and the Messenger. You must love Allah and the Messenger. If you don't, why is Allah, giving you the chance to come here? If you didn't love Allah and the Messenger, why have you taken your time to be here today? Believe me, the food is not worth it. Believe me, the time away from your family is not worth it. Unless you truly want this knowledge. Unless you truly want something better and greater. There is far more attractions out there. As I walked into this school and I saw all the attractions out there, there is a cinema out there, there's food out here, there's shopping centers out there, far more distractions. Yet you have chosen to spend time remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to learn about how to protect your iman in the 21st century. You must have a good heart. You must have a good heart. Even if you are like that sahabi who is drinking, still you must love Allah and the Messenger. This is why you are here. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must want good for you. Allah must want good for you. Otherwise, why is Allah providing for you whilst you're sinning? Allah must want good for you. Otherwise, why would Allah give you hidayah and guidance after you have chosen to sin against Him and take misguidance? Allah must want good for you. So be positive, my friends. Irrespective of what has happened in the past, be positive. Be positive. There is good. There is good inside you. Find that good inside you and let it come forth. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran a very beautiful verse about the heart of a believer. He actually describes the heart of a believer. And there is a beautiful verse in Surah Nur where he describes the light in the heart of a believer and he tells us that our hearts are so pure, so pristine, so clean, so clear. It is so amazing that all we need to do is just like a glass, though we polish and the blemish runs over, then in the same way we simply need to polish the heart and the blemish will run over. I'm going to recite to you from Surah Nur, and I want you to listen to this verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the light in the heart of a believer. And Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله نور السماوات والأرض مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار نور على نور يهدي الله بنوره من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس والله بكل شيء عليم. الله أكبر. I wish you would understand Arabic. But Allah, it is because of this I used to stand as a young boy, 18 years old, with all of these Arabic books in the University of Melbourne where I used to go and pray my Fajr prayer, where I used to go and pray my Jummah prayer. I would stand with all these Arabic books and I would say, Oh Allah, teach me Arabic so I can read these books. Allahu Akbar. And Allah answered the dua. Beautiful verse in the Quran. Allah says, Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. That's right. Allah is nur, Allah is light, and from Him is light. In the same way, Rasulullah ﷺ said in authentic hadith in Bukhari, he said, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam, tabarakta dhal jalali wal ikram. O Allah, you are as-salam, and from you is as-salam, is peace and tranquility. Glory be to you, and far are you away from what people associate from you. So it's possible that Allah is a light, and of course from Him is a light as well. So Allah says, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. Meaning from Allah is the guidance for the heavens and the earth. From Allah is the inspiration, for Allah is the motivation, for Allah is the sustenance for the heavens and the earth. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Mathalu nurihi. And He gives the example. He says the example of His light. Mathalu nurihi. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentioned here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the heart of a believer. Ay, meaning the light in the heart of a believer, which is from Allah Azza wa Jal. So he says, مَثَلُ نُورِهِ, the example of his light, مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِسْبَاحٍ. It's like a lantern within which is, the essence of which is a small candle. So imagine in the heart, in your heart, at the essence, at the core of your heart is a candle. And that candle has a single wick of flame. And it's burning inside you with a very simple light. Al-misbahu fi zujaja. And that single candle is enclosed in glass. And that is within a lantern. Have you seen those lanterns where people carry? Inside it is a wick with a little bit of flame. And that is enclosed in glass. And we know, for example, when I used to go to my villages back in Bangladesh, we used to carry this with us all the time, those lanterns. Those lanterns, a little bit of kerosene we used to put inside it. Yeah, it's like that. There's a wick inside it. It's enclosed in a glass. So, al-misbahu fi zujaja. And that lantern is enclosed in a glass. Then he says, az-zujajatu ka'annaha kawkab. The glass is so bright. It's so amazing, so sharp. It's as if it's a star. Ka'annaha kawkabun durriyu yuqad. It is a star that is so durri, meaning so bright, that you can't even look at it. So intensely bright, so much light from it. Durriyu yuqadu min shajarati mubarakatin. It is fed from a tree, meaning the oil that feeds this light, that from which it burns, is fed from a blessed tree. Min shajarati mubarakatin, from a blessed tree. Zaytunatin, from a blessed olive tree. La sharqiyya wala gharbiyya. Neither from the east nor from the west. يَكَادُ زَيْتُهَا يُضِيءُ وَلَوْ لَمْ تَمْسَسْهُ النَّارِ The oil is so pure, it's so pure that even before the fire touches it, it's about to burst forth in light. And when it does, نُورٌ عَلَى نُورٍ Light upon light. يَهْدِ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ Allah guides with His light, whoever He wills. And for he who there is no light, who Allah does not give light, then there is no guidance for him. Let me explain this verse, a most amazing verse. A most amazing verse. Allah gives these parables, but if you think about it, it unlocks amazing passion and wisdom in your heart. Allah says, Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. We understood that. مَثَلُ نُورِهِ The example of the light of Allah, the guidance of Allah in the heart of a believer, is like a single candle. And that is the fitrah that is within your hearts. Imagine you all have this ability to recognize Allah. And you all do. Whenever you sin, you feel bad. Whenever you sin, don't you feel bad? Whenever you're in distress, don't you raise your hands up to Allah? Whenever you are on a ship and you're about to be shipwrecked, for example, doesn't your hands go up to Allah? It does. So that is the essence of the fitrah in your heart. The ability to recognize God. The ability to recognize that you are a slave. And that ultimately you are a slave to someone far more precious, far more knowledgeable, far more greater than you, far more excellent than you. You are ultimately totally dependent upon Allah. Ya ayyuha an-nas antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. Wallahu wal ghaniyul hamid. O mankind, you are all beggars to Allah, and Allah is free of all wants, the king. Absolutely. And this is the fitrah and the hearts, just like that candle that is burning within us. That simple candle. That's enclosed in a glass, Allah says. It's enclosed in glass. So Allah has described our heart to be fragile. Because what is a glass except fragile? What is a glass except fragile? And also Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah explains that the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained our heart to be like glass is because it gives the idea of fragility. It cracks very easily. Isn't that the case? Can you hold yourself back when you talk about Allah azza wa jalla? Can you truly hold yourself back when a verse of the Quran is read out to you that truly touches your heart? Doesn't your heart tremble when talking about Allah? Doesn't your heart tremble when talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It does indeed. Truly, my friends, our hearts are like fragile vessels, like glass. Thank you. I need some water. Thank you. Keep that here, inshallah. So it is like glass. Also, another amazing reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that our hearts are like glass is because glass is transparent. It's transparent, so whatever's inside it will shine forth. If you have iman in your heart, it will show on your limbs. It will burst forth. If you have disbelief in your heart, you can't hide it. It will eventually come out. If you truly have sincerity, that will show. If you truly are a munafiq, that will eventually come out. It's not possible for a person to say that he loves Allah and His Messenger and doesn't struggle in his cause for the whole life. It is not possible for someone to say that I love Allah and the Messenger and not to raise a finger when Allah and His Messenger have been cursed. It's not possible for you to say I love Allah and the Messenger for you to never pray in your life, for you to never go for Hajj, to never give zakat, to never help anybody at all. It's not possible at all. So if the actions are bad, it must indicate that the heart is bad. And if the heart is good, it must make the actions good. إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُضْغَى إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلَحُ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ And that's authentic hadith in Bukhari. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, indeed, in the heart of a believer is a morsel of flesh. If it is good, then the whole body is good. And if it's bad, then the whole body is bad. What is it except the heart? It is the heart. The heart of the believer. So that is why it's glass. It's fragile, it cracks, but it's easy to mend. Haven't you seen O'Brien ads on TV? Where it says, if you have a crack on your glass, just call O'Brien. And they'll come and mend it for you. It'll be good as gold. That's exactly it. It's easy to mend. And also it's easy to break. And it's transparent. What is in your heart will shine forth. So you can't hide it. The best thing you can do is to ensure that you truly have a pure heart. And it's also appropriate to describe the heart as a glass, because haven't you seen glasses that have blemish on it? When they have blemish on it and dirt on it, then nothing can shine forth from inside it. Have you not seen those lanterns that are dirty? No light comes out unless you clean the glass. And that's precisely how our hearts are. The Prophet ﷺ said, indeed, when a person sins, then there are dots that are put onto the heart. And they are not removed until he does a good deed. And we know, of course, the authentic hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, Bukhari and Muslim, where he said, if someone misses Jum'ah 3 times in a row, then obviously a black dot gets put onto the heart. It's like the black dot on the glass that prevents the nur from coming out. Why else do you see when people become older and older, when they haven't lived their life upon iman, they have this dark gloominess on their face? But Allah, they have this dark gloom on their face. Yet some other people, when they walk into the room, he says, subhanAllah, so much light. That's light. They used to say, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa used to come out on the full moon night, we used to compare the light of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa to the light of the full moon. And that's an authentic narration. Authentic narration. Amazing, isn't it? Because truly, when your heart's so pure, and you clean the glass so much, that ultimately what's in the heart will shine forth. Then Allah says that the light in the heart, or this fitrah that is within you, is fed from a tree. And Allah gives a parable of a tree. Why? Because a tree is blessed. It grows, it takes root, it forms its root in a way where it's actually very strong. He says it's a blessed tree. And he says it's a zaytun tree, an olive tree. That's quite interesting. Why an olive tree? Have you ever thought of it? Well, because first of all, olives are the most expensive of fruits in history. In fact, olives, they used to use olives as trading material. They used to use olives, early Greeks used to use olives instead of money, because olives were currency. Also, olives are very versatile, as you know. As we know medically as well, olives are very good for you. Olive oil is the best oil, it will reduce your cholesterol. On top of that, the olive tree is an amazing tree. If you read about it, just Google it, you will find amazing things about olives. Well, what is it that I can tell you about olives? I've Googled it. I found a few things. I found that the farmers of olives, when they want to have better olives and newer olives, all they do is cut the whole tree. That's amazing, isn't it? To make the olives better, they actually just cut the whole tree. And when they cut it, it grows again. What I also read was that olive trees take root and stay in one place. So obviously they don't move, but they stay and they survive throughout centuries and centuries. Whereas other things, like for example tomato plantations and all that, they will die after a few times. Right? But the olive tree is something that will stay there for centuries and centuries. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of the olive tree for our heart. Why? Because it's expensive. It's pure. It's clean. It's valuable to mankind. And when the iman is cut down, it only shines forth. It only comes up again stronger, better, with even better fruit. Haven't you seen when the West puts all of these problems upon Muslims, curbing our civil liberties, causing us to feel collectively guilty about anyone out there, any foolish man doing something silly out there? They expect Muslims to feel collectively guilty. They curb our civil liberties. They mock us in airports. They do all of these things. Has it ever decreased our iman, really? No, it hasn't. Actually, the masjids are far more fuller than it has ever been. Wallahi, you go for Taraweeh now, and I am amazed at the quality of people these days, compared to 15, 20 years ago. And I know I go to UK, for example, I go to the largest mosque there, Whitechapel Mosque, 16,000 to 20,000 people praying. By Allah, the level of khushu that you feel is far more than I've ever felt ever. The average person is learning more about their deen. The average Muslim is coming back to his deen. Yes, all of these problems, 9/11, etc., has been a furqan. What's a furqan? A furqan is a division. The good people sorted, the bad people sorted. Ashabul yameen wa ashabul shimal. Khalas. This is Allah sorting. These are the trials and tribulations that have sorted people. So the people of Iman have grown in their Iman. They're learning the deen, they're becoming more religious and they're becoming better at it. And the people of disbelief, they're becoming worse and worse and worse. And the people who claim to be Muslims, but they still harbor disbelief in their hearts, they're only getting worse in the disbelief. It's been like a furqan. Have you noticed? So by Allah, these trials and tribulations have not caused us to have any problems except good. I remember when I was invited to the House of Lords in UK to give a talk to them, they asked me to say a few words. The first thing I said is, thank you. Why are you thanking us? Well, I'm saying thank you because your policies, because House of Lords are the Lords that actually decide the laws in UK. And that has a huge impact on the rest of the Western world, as you know. So the House of Lords, I told them thank you. Why? Because your policies about you trying to curb our civil liberties and trying to put down Muslimin and our own revival towards our religion has only brought us closer to our religion. If anything, our masjids are far more fuller. If anything, our khutbahs are far more clearer. If anything, we are far more determined. If anything, you have now hit us where it really hurts, in the heart. In the heart, here, right here. And this is why my survival instincts have taken start. Muslims, their survival instincts have taken shape, and that is why today we see far more than we have seen yesterday. Compare what our last generation would have done about religion. Compared to what is being done now. How many more masjids? How much more classes? Far more than the last generation. Do you know our teachers in Medina University, may Allah preserve them, they used to say that only about 30 years ago, this was in 1970 or 1960s, no one used to wear hijab in Medina. They used to say women used to walk around without wearing any hijab. In Medina, in the city of Rasulullah ﷺ. And only 20 years later, you can hardly find a woman except that they're covered. Only 20 years ago, Islam, only 30 or 40 years ago, this is what they used to tell me, when I was there in around about, you know, 2000, in the year 2000. About 40 years ago, people would hardly come to masjids. And the Prophet's mosque would not be full. Now it's not just full, they have to break down things to expand. So whether you like it or not, yes, there's a lot of people leaving the deen. Yes, there's a lot of sins happening, but be positive. You have a beautiful heart. And by Allah, that is shining forth. And by Allah, Allah is going to... وَاللَّهُ يُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ Allah is of a surety going to establish His light, even if the disbelievers cannot tolerate it. Because this is Allah's world. We are the pawns of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We are only enacting what Allah has written for us. So ultimately, my friends, Allah will offer surety establish His light. Just like when they cut that tree down, it only bursts forth with far better, far more beautiful fruit. Then Allah continues. And He says that the tree grows neither in the east nor in the west. Shajaratin, mubarakatin, zaytunatin, la sharqiyya wa la gharbiyya. Have you heard that? He said, not in the east nor in the west. Meaning what? Neither from the extremes of one side nor from the extremes of left or the right. Neither from the extremes of this side, people who have knowledge but no action, or from the extremes of the left, people who have action without knowledge. Right? غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ Guide us to the straight path, Ya Rabb. Not the path of those who have earned you anger, or those who are astray. Those who earned you anger and those who are astray. And this is precisely what Allah says, the tree is in the middle, neither in the east nor in the west. We are a blessed nation of people that are in the middle path. And this is why Islam is in the middle path. This is why Allah says, our tree that is in the heart, is neither the extremes of the east nor in the west. Then He says what? يَكَادُ زَيْتُهَا يُضِي وَلَوْ لَمْ تَمْسَسْهُ نَارٌ The oil is so pure, it's about to burst forth in light even if the fire has yet touched it. Meaning what? Meaning by Allah, if Rasulullah ﷺ had never come, for example. If Rasulullah ﷺ had never come, Islam was never there, still our hearts would know there was one God because of the purity of the iman that Allah has placed in the purity of the ability to recognize one God. Yes, we would not know about salah, zakat and all of that. Yes, we would not know about Muhammad and Rasulullah ﷺ, but yet the purity of the heart of the believer is so strong that if we gave it time, just like Salman Farsi, as our Shaykh was saying, by Allah, we would find it, if we were truthful to it. If we polished that heart, if we truly gave that heart a chance, by Allah, this heart would guide us. Allah says in the Quran, Rasulullah said in the authentic hadith, Al-Ithm ma hala fi nafsik wa karihta an yattala alayha an-nas. Sins is what you really dislike in your soul, and you hate that people would hear about it. This is what a sin is. A sin is not X, Y, Z, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I can give you a book of sins. No, sin is that plus other things as well. It's what you really have a difficulty in your heart from accepting about yourself, and you know that you would hate other people to find out about. And that's why the heart of a believer is like a compass. The heart of a believer is like a compass. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Follow the purity of your heart. Don't follow the desires of it, but follow the purity of it. And this is my advice to you all, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Follow your heart, for indeed you all have beautiful hearts. Be positive, for indeed Islam is on the rise. And they cannot stop it. Nothing can stop when a people are being attacked. When people are being forced against their deen. Then by Allah, it's only natural for people to defend themselves. It's only natural for people to have that instinct within them that says, that defiance within them, in order to say, no, I will exist. No, we Muslims will not remain silent. No, we Muslims will not go into the dark and become an unforgotten nation. We will not be resigned to the pages of history. Rather, we will be resigned to the pages of today. We will write our own history. And this is precisely what believers are doing worldwide. Follow your heart, my friends. Follow your passion. Follow your goals. Follow your dreams. Do that which is right for your deen. Do that which is right for your for Islam. And indeed, by Allah, you all have beautiful hearts. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, I ask you all to recognize whether the heart within yourself is a glass that is clean and pure, or have you blemished it with sins? If you have blemished it with sins, there are certain signs that you can see by which you can recognize that. And if you find that that is the type of heart that you have, then rectify it now. There are signs of good hearts and there are signs of bad hearts, or failing hearts, as we say, heart failure. I think I'll use that term, heart failure, CCF. I know the doctors are all laughing and smiling. That's congestive cardiac failure. It's a term we use in medicine all the time. Who's someone whose heart is failing? So let's use congestive cardiac failure for whose hearts are failing. Take it, Dr. Masood. All right, no problem. All right. So if you have a very strong heart, there are certain signs. What are the signs of having a really good heart? The signs of having a really good heart is that you love the time of prayer and you love the times of ibadah. You love that you spend your time in ibadah. And you hate it when you simply are not doing some ibadah or the other. You must love it. And that must be there within your heart. Yes, it sometimes takes difficulty. Yes, that's right. It's difficult. But by Allah, there must be this happiness within your heart. I can tell you now myself, I'm a young man. And I have difficulty with tahajjud prayer. I have difficulty with tahajjud prayer. I don't think I love it yet, but I tolerate it. And one day I will love it. And that's precisely what Sufyan al-Thawri said. He said, by Allah, for 10 years I disliked it, but I still prayed my tahajjud prayers. Then for the next 10 years, I tolerated it, but I still prayed. And then for the next 10 years, I loved it. And that's exactly what you have to do. You have to make yourself love it. And that's exactly what Mahatma Gandhi used to say. Amazing statement. He used to say, life is about making your heart love what you do, what you need to do. Not the other way around, just doing what you feel that you love. It's about doing that which is right, and even if your heart doesn't like it, then you still train your heart to like it. Because you know your mind says that's the right thing to do. So the sign of a good heart, my friends, is that it loves good deeds. Loves coming to talks, loves giving lectures, loves listening to Islam, loves preaching Islam, loves helping Allah's path, loves helping, telling people to give money for the cause of Allah, whatever it is, some good deed or the other. Because if each one of you, my friends, don't have a good deed that is secret between you and Allah, then you are in peril. You see, my friends, let me tell you this clearly. Any deeds that you have done from your deeds of worship that you've done in front of mankind, do not expect Allah to reward you for it. Do not expect that Allah will reward you for a deed that you have done in front of mankind. Why? Because it's very, very important to remember that Allah only rewards the pure deeds. That which has 100% ikhlas. Allah is pure and only accepts the pure. So the pious predecessors, may Allah have mercy upon them, never used to expect that Allah would be accepting their deeds. So they lived in this fear and this hope. Oh Allah, I'm praying and fasting, but I know you're so pure, oh Rabb, that my deeds, which are not as pure at all, or comparable at all, oh Allah, I would be amazingly satisfied if you would accept even one prostration. And so my friends, anything that we do in front of mankind, it is difficult to have purity of intention in the heart. And this is why Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah used to say, he said it is obligatory upon every believer to have one deed every single day that is only between him and Allah Azza wa Jalla. It is obligatory upon every believer to have a deed every single day that is between him and Allah, and no one from creation knows about it. Ask yourself, do you have that deed? The deed of purity of ikhlas. The deed by which you can then call upon Allah on the day when you are in severe trial and say, oh Allah, that deed no one knows about but me and you, oh Allah. For that sake, oh Rabb, help me. And you know that. You know that you need that, because by Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you worship Him in your time of need, Allah will look after you in time of difficulty. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, recognize the signs of a good heart. It loves to do good deeds. It hates to waste time. It loves that it spends time in prayer and in fasting and zakat and in doing ibadah. It hates the times when it sins. It follows up. The good heart is a heart that follows up bad deeds with good deeds. It's a heart that cannot tolerate a day thinking that Allah is angry with it. And so it says, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. These are the signs of a good heart. The signs of a bad heart is a heart that is happy with materialistic possessions and is displeased when Allah takes away some materialistic possession. You have a car, you're happy, Allah gave you a fantastic car. And you're sad the day that Allah takes that car away from you. It's okay for Muslims or human beings to like good things. That's fine, I like good cars too. But it's bad to be materialistic and so attached to it. Don't shun the world, shun worldliness. Do you know what that means? Don't shun the world, meaning live in this world, buy the good cars and buy your good houses. But do not become attached to it. Don't shun the world, shun worldliness. And this is exactly what zuhd really means. That you not shun the world, but you shun worldliness, the attachment to it. That you're indifferent whether Allah has given it to you or Allah has taken it away from you. The signs of a bad heart, my friends, is that you don't feel any problem in your heart that you missed a salah. You don't find it difficult in your heart that you missed some zakat. You don't find it difficult that people have gone for Hajj and you were not able to go for Hajj this year. You don't find it difficult that Allah has not chosen you to be someone who prayed every single night in the nights of Ramadan. You don't find that too much of a difficulty on your heart. These are signs of a bad heart, chronic congestive failure, cardiac, whatever. Right? Heart failure. These are the signs of heart failure. Also other signs of heart failure, my friends. Other signs. Is that a person is far more happy, with day-to-day activities than he is with worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. He's actually angry. Like for example, kids when they say, "Mom, why are you taking me there? Why are you taking me to that lecture?" Rather, a heart that is pure and heart that is clean is a heart that says, you know what? Yes, I may not be wearing hijab today, but I love the hijab. I might not be praying today, but really I love prayer. I might not be fasting today, but I love fasting. I love Allah and the Messenger, and I am going to do it tomorrow. Or I'm going to do it today. I'm going to do it now. A heart that is pure is someone that loves Allah and the Messenger, loves everything about Islam, everything about it. And but Allah doesn't hate anything about Islam. My sincere advice to you all is to cultivate pure and beautiful hearts. You all have beautiful hearts. Be positive. Be positive. And just give your hearts a chance and give the light a chance to shine forth. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.